This is Ozarks at Large. You can split hairs when it comes to proclaiming just when the University of Arkansas's history began. Was it when it was first mentioned as a possibility? Or when the Arkansas legislature gave approval and the charter was issued? Or when the first students arrived to study in Fayetteville a few months after that? Or when its first building constructed specifically for use by the fledgling institution opened up for underclassmen, faculty, and staff? Certainly, the creation of Old Main can be considered an important milestone for the U of A. This week, as he continues to explore the history of the University of Arkansas's 150th anniversary, Charlie Allison, the executive editor of University Relations at the U of A, relates for us the construction of what has become the physical embodiment of the campus.
In mid-October of 1873, a flock of passenger pigeons numbering in the tens of thousands flew over the new university campus, briefly darkening the grounds below, where a flock of workmen were busy starting the largest construction project ever attempted in Arkansas up to that point. The workers included people like Joe Smith, a 28-year-old African-American laborer who was born in Tennessee, Philip Sloss, a 26-year-old day laborer from Germany, and Michael Murray, a 28-year-old brickmason who immigrated from Ireland. Local workers also got jobs on the project. 16-year-old Seba Tuttle, born a slave and now working for his own wages as a carpenter's apprentice, would later help construct the building's mansard roof. They were but a few of the laborers erecting the building that became known as University Hall, or what we know today as Old Main. The university had opened in 1872, but there wasn't enough time to erect a large permanent building, so temporary frame buildings were quickly built. Later that year, the university's Board of Trustees advertised for architectural plans for a building expected to cost between $85,000 and $125,000, and they initially considered plans submitted by an architectural firm in Helena. However, some of the trustees also visited nearby campuses and were impressed by the new building at the University of Illinois in Urbana. They asked Illinois officials about acquiring the architectural plans for the building, but the Illinois campus didn't have a full set of drawings, and the Arkansas trustees were referred to the designer, John Mills Van Osdell, the first architect to set up shop in Chicago, and by 1870, the preeminent architect of the city. During a private trip to Illinois, trustee John Searle sought out the architect. Van Osdell said that his original plans had been destroyed in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871, but he offered to produce new drawings for $1,000, including any changes Arkansas might want. In a modern review of that bit of history, Cy Sutherland, an architectural historian and professor of architecture for many years at the University of Arkansas, wrote that the speed with which new plans were provided left him just a little bit suspicious about whether Van Osdell's original plans really had been destroyed in the Great Chicago Fire. Nevertheless, the money was paid and the plans were obtained. Van Osdell's design offered a grand building, designed in what's known as the Second Empire style. The traditional elements of this style are a front facade divided into five planes, a mansard roof with dormer windows for the attic floor, and a strong Palladian symmetry. All of these elements are easily seen in Old Main. The only major changes from the Illinois building were that the taller bell tower and the shorter clock tower were swapped in location. Myths about the reasons for this swap included the notion that the taller tower was moved to the north side of the building to commemorate the Union. Another theory was that the contractor got drunk one night and accidentally read the architectural plans backwards. Neither was true. The towers were swapped to make the clock tower easier to see from the Fayetteville Square. Not that it ended up doing much good. The clock tower had no clockworks for 130 years. In 2005, though, donors led by then-Vice-Chancellor G. David Gearhart raised money to install a clock, thus ending another timeless tradition. Eight contractors submitted bids for the main building, and the Board of Trustees awarded the contract to the low bid of $123,855 offered by Mays and Oliver of Fayetteville. Joseph Carter Corbin, the president of the Board of Trustees, signed the contract for construction of University Hall, setting in motion the work of erecting not only a building of educational importance, but one that became a symbol of higher education in Arkansas. The contractor, Mays and Oliver, began construction on September 1, 1873. William Zara Mays, the principal of Mays and Oliver, was a stocky, brown-haired contractor who had followed in his father's footsteps, becoming a keen-eyed carpenter and builder. The main building at the university was far above any project he had attempted, though, so he spent most of his waking hours on the campus for the next 2 years. He lived on a farm south of Fayetteville's Town Branch. At dawn each day, he saddled his horse and rode 2 miles to the campus. If heavy rains were expected, he started earlier so that he could get across Town Branch before the creek came arise. The first order of business for Mays and his large retinue of laborers was to clear the hilltop so that a foundation and basement could be dug. Two brothers, 18-year-old George DeVore and 16-year-old Elijah DeVore, used axes to clear 15 oaks from the crest of the hill. At the same time, the original wood-frame classroom buildings and other nearby structures sitting on the site needed to be moved away from the construction zone. A student named Enoch Taylor was working his way through college by driving Fayetteville's first grocery wagon, and he roomed in one of the small buildings. Taylor recalled returning to his small abode after a long day of classes and work. While he was eating dinner, workmen slipped skids and rollers under his little home, hitched it to a team of mules, and began tugging it west. He ate his main course about where the north wing of Old Main now sits, and finished dessert near the present-day Mullins Library. Nearly all of the construction materials for the building came from Arkansas: sandstone for the foundation, limestone for dressing the windows, and wood felled from the Ozark forests. The columns at the front were quarried from bluffs along the White River. The Kelton and Vest brickmakers built kilns about where the Pat Walker Health Center stands today, and they began hauling clay from the hillside south of campus to be fired into bricks on the site. The local newspaper reported the following supplies for the building: 2.6 million bricks, 2,300 perch of rock, 718,000 feet of lumber, 160,000 pounds of iron, 250 kegs of nails, 85 doors, 282 windows, and 12,000 square yards of plaster. And that latter number is just for the first and second floors. The exterior of the building and the interiors of the first two floors were finished in 1875. The interior and the exterior were as different from each other as the wooded hill country of East Fayetteville is from the sodded plains of West Fayetteville. The exterior was ornate, visionary, a fantastic sight in a region that was still on the nation's frontier. The interior, on the other hand, was described as austere by Cy Sutherland, and he was right. The offices and classrooms lacked any ornament. The floors were basic pine wood, there were no light fixtures initially, and the auditorium was a big box of a room, without even a raised platform for speakers. If the exterior filled the mind with wonder, imagination, and possibility, the interior was all about getting down to the brass tacks of education and learning. When the building was finished, thousands of people from across the region came to the campus for a dedication of the towering building. On a warm August evening, an all-day picnic was spread upon the workbenches in the shadow of the South Tower. As daylight faded, the shadows of the new building stretched across the long front lawn of the university. Revelers hung lanterns in the trees and lit fire to leftover bricks that had been soaked in oil. Fireworks flashed across the sky while the celebration continued into the gloaming of the night.
Charlie Allison is the executive editor of University Relations at the U of A. Most Wednesdays, he tells us stories about the first 150 years of the U of A's history. More details about observations of the University of Arkansas's sesquicentennial can be found at 150.uark.edu. That's 150.uark.edu.